Namaskar. Warm greetings. It's such a joy to be here this afternoon, this evening. I'm on a very specific mission. When I hear Brother pray, he said, "Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country." That's my issue. More than food, man needs freedom. Slavery is detrimental. It is destructive. Freedom is productive. Freedom is developmental. Suppression cannot bring prosperity. Freedom can. Whether it is economy or any other situation. That's the issue that we are facing in India for the past 27, 28 years. Let me go straight into the subject. Currently, India, a nation of 1.4 billion precious souls of free citizens, are facing the severest attack on freedom. Not only Christians, a gross violation of fundamental human rights is taking place in our country. By law, for the past 75 years, India is a secular, sovereign republic, a nation of the people, by the people, for the people, but it's all thrown into the wind by the present regime. According to the traditional thinking and belief, truth, Christianity came to India 2,000 years ago. But there are a lot of allegations against us, a lot of attacks against the Christian community, which are largely unfounded. There are three types of attacks taking take place against us now. Number one, it is physical. If this was Uttar Pradesh, a North Indian state of India, maybe a few religious terrorists, radicals would come in. They would march in, attack us. Whether it is children, women, or makes no difference. Then they will call the police. Police would come, arrest each one of us, then those attackers will be released. No FIR will be taken against them. Rather, we will be put behind bars. This is the truth. So, physical attack. Average in India today, every day, five attacks are taking place. I get those details on my mobile because we have a team working all over the country. We have reporters, all facts and figures. It started with the Gujarat Dang districts in 1996 onwards, continued. Hundreds of our believers were burnt. You don't get reports about that. In Gujarat, then 2008, Kandhamal, 1999, Gram Singh and his sons were burned alive. And 2023, 23 months ago, May 3, something tragic happened in Manipur, a northeastern state of India. It's a beautiful, lovely land. For seven east North Asian states, we have on average 40% Christians. 1830 onwards, American Baptist missionaries used to come. They started schools. They gave script, modern script, to their tribal languages. So many tribal languages, unwritten languages were given, modern script, dictionary, grammar book. They started schools and colleges and universities. They worked for the socio-economic transformation of Northeast. Northeast India has become one of the most well-educated community who were earlier just tribals living in the jungles and in the forests. Amazing stories of what prospect can do. Change societies, communities. Like the Europe before the gospel came. India was like that, Manipur was like that, Northeast was like that. Health hunting people, they used to kill people very often, which was the norm. But when gospel came, everything changed. On May 3, what happened was 249 churches were burned down within 36 hours. Over 800 believers were killed. God gives you the truth. Over 60,000 Christians are in the Kukli hilly areas for the past 23 months. They are in the jungles. A so-called refugee camps, dilapidated, just living under the plastic sheets. Most tragic, miserable condition. So burning bygates and burning people has become the standard of India's theology today. I carry around this whole world. This is a burned Bible, Good News Bible. I picked it up from Manipur, from Imphal City, one of the burned churches. The evangelist there, I met him. I visited twice as a journalist. I would not have been able to go, but for my profession, there were TV crew with me. We gave everyone special protection, otherwise you can just move there. Every 3 kilometers, there are religious terrorists stopping you. They can do anything on you. So this Bible was picked up from Imphal City. This evangelist told me this story. On May 3, around 12 o'clock in the night, he got a message saying, "You'll be killed." He was a Meitei tribal. His wife was a Kuki Christian. The believers, he himself was a religious terrorist, a radical. 5 years ago, he got a Bible and he started reading it. He became a Christ lover. Then he started this small church. Beautiful. So at 12 o'clock, he got the message, but around 3 o'clock, someone got an empty truck and looked at everything in the church. Everything was taken. Around 2 o'clock, another truck was brought with few gas cylinders, LPG gas cylinders. They messed it up. Whole church was burned. Out of that, I will ignore this. This is India today. This is a battle. It's a battle against the Bible. It's a battle against the Bible people. It's a battle against Bible beliefs. It's a battle against the Bible buildings. Over 1,000 churches and Christian institutions, the builders were burned down. We don't know who did it. We know it, but we cannot say it. Let the government find it out. Let the Indian department find it. Why this is happening? So number one, physical attack. Our women were raped. Our children were cut into pieces. Their heads kept on fences and taken photographs. A woman, a Christian woman, and a little son maybe around 12 or 15 years old, they were shot. That boy was almost dying. Somebody took them to a hospital. They said, no, here we can't do anything. So the hospital people put them both in an ambulance, thinking it's safe. They were driving in. On the way, this radical stopped, burned the Bible, burned the ambulance, that sister, that driver, and the son. This is India. So many women were paraded naked. This is India. It's not normal democracy there. It is demonocracy. Of the 28 states of India, in 12 states, draconian, nefarious, anti-conversion bill has been passed. Eminent lawyers say this bill is unconstitutional, immoral, unjust, anti-human. This is all against the Constitution of India. The physical attack, we come to that point. Physical attack. What do you do? And physically, you are attacked. Nothing can be done. We'll pray. This is the Constitution of India I carry always. Constitution of India. It's a beautiful constitution based on the Bible. This constitution has been created with the help of the Christian missionaries. The freedom of India, which happened 75 years ago. Christian believers, missionaries, hundreds of them, very much, along with Mahatma Gandhi. There was the first missionary, one of the missionaries, C.F. Andrews, went to South Africa to bring Gandhiji all the way to India to begin this freedom movement. C.F. Andrews brought it in. Then when Gandhiji was, he got the freedom. Gandhiji was threatened that he'll be assassinated. And the Jawaharlal Nehru, our Prime Minister, knew about it. He sent Kumari Ambedkar, Gandhi's secretary, a Christian, health secretary, health minister of Nehru's cabinet. She spent 2 hours with Gandhiji, pleading with him, please leave New Delhi, you will be killed. He said, no, I will die. Then Nehru said, the only person who can influence Gandhi is Bishop Bhaskar Pickett, Methodist bishop. Very well known. Nehru sent the commissioner of Delhi early morning, 4 o'clock, he said, please come. So he spent 2 hours with Mahatma Gandhi. So please leave. He said, no, I will not. Let me die here. After 2 hours, he was assassinated. So Christian missionaries, there was an allegation against that. We were no part of the freedom movement. I've written a story, a 400-page story of the YMCA. It was in YMCA, London YMCA, that Mahatma Gandhi spent time for the freedom fights and conferences. My new book is coming on India's freedom, among these experiments with Christ, where I'll be discussing. No, it means so much. So what did we do? This is a gross violation of human rights. But who is there to ask? Secularism, where is secularism? Our constitution says every citizen of the country have the freedom of liberty, equality, fraternity, dignity. This gives us. But it's all thrown in the wind by the authorities, by the rulers, by the powers that be. Neither the parliament, nor the executive, nor the judiciary, nor the media supports Christian community. So physical attack, brothers and sisters. Right now, 800 of our believers, our evangelists, including children and women, they are in the prisons of India. What is that for? What is the accusation? They handed over a tract. They handed over a Bible. They said that Jesus Christ loves you. And they had meetings, prayer meetings. 2 weeks ago, there was a birthday prayer. They were praying for a birthday of a young child. Police came, somebody reported, police came, arrested everybody. My own family, Mylapura, Kerala, George Papachan and his wife, they were put for 9 months. We got them bailed out, came to our house. Then again, after 1 month, because of a child, they were put behind us for 5 years. Our believers there, maybe half of these 60 inmates, believers, are put in the dungeon, in the hellhole of Indian prisons. India is also a signatory to Article 18 of the International Human Rights Declaration, which gives you absolute freedom to change from one religion to another, one faith to another. So, on paper, you get all this freedom, liberty, dignity, nobody bothers. These authorities, these rulers, have taken oath to preserve this constitution and the people without favor or fear. They are the people who are throwing that out. So, number one, physical attack. What shall we do for that? Our Lord says, pray for them, pity them. That's all. We cannot react. If you are written here, you have to show the other cheek. That's all. Simple. That's what our people are doing. We don't react. We do not react at all physically. And the second attack is in the lecture. There are three allegations against Christians today. Number one, you Christians are foreigners. Number two, you are the remnant of the British Empire. Number three, you destroy the culture of India. Number one, I've answered that. You are all foreigners. All Indians have come from where? From Ararat Mountain. Right? We are all children of Sheikh Muhammad Yafir. Romila Thakur, the famous historian of India, she said, it's believed that Indians are children, grandchildren of North. Yes, is it true? Genesis chapter 10 gives you, chapter 11 gives you all the details. You are all, the whole population, the 8.5 billion people of the world, all from children, grandchildren, so we are our cousins. My Prime Minister, and we are cousins. So I'm asking, why are we killing it? So intellectual attack, number one, we are all foreigners. So therefore, to make an allegation against the Christians alone are foreigners, you go back to America or England, it's unfounded, baseless. Number two, are we remnant of the British? No. Historically, Christianity, the gospel of the message came to Kerala and India in AD 52, brought by Apostle Thomas. He was martyred in AD 72. So they were from BC 1000 onwards, during David's time, during Solomon's time, thousands of Jews have come to Kerala. So Apostle Thomas basically, at the outset, he came to share the message of the Messiah to the Jewish community. Then he preached to the Malayalis there. So the first converts to Christianity in India are the Jewish people. So we have a 2,000-year legacy. So to make an accusation that we are the remnant of the British, it's baseless. Moreover, till 1813, no missionary, American or British missionary, was allowed to land in the British soil of India till the chapter of the East India Company was chained with the help of William Wilberforce and Charles Grant and others in the British Parliament. So that's a historical truth. So we are not a remnant of the British. Second allegation is thrown out. Third, did we destroy the culture of Burma? The culture? What was the culture of India? One of the culture ministers of India said, made a statement that Christian missionaries destroyed the culture of India in the Hindi language. So definitely I had an inspiration from God to answer that. I've done some kind of linguistics diplomas. I knew that there was no Hindi language in India, but I don't study much on that. So what I did was, how to answer this man? Did we develop or destroy the culture? To begin with, who modernized Indian languages? We have 1,652 languages in India, spoken by 1.4 billion people. Out of that, we have modern script only in 200 languages. Without a script, what would you do? So who reduced the oral communication into the written Christian missionaries? So there was no Hindi language at all in India, for example. Hindi was created in 1876, by missionary Samuel Henry Keller, a Presbyterian US American missionary living in Varanasi, in Benares, in Uttar Pradesh, and Central India. He created Hindi out of first Central Indian dialects, Boli language. He created for the first time and produced the grammar of Hindi. You can Google and see that book. Even today, that grammar of Hindi is known as the most authentic, authoritative grammar book in Hindi. Then dictionary was created, the literature was produced, Hindi literature. Schools and colleges and universities were started. This minister studied Hindi like that, which we created. He became a minister, he became a professor, a Hindi professor. And he's saying this narration, false narration, that we destroyed the culture of India. So to answer that, this is what I did. Let there be India. This is produced out of my major study, 10-year study with the Nagpur University Linguistic Department. Most of my research I did at Oxford, because our dictionaries and grammar books are kept in the Oxford libraries. Also, God gave me the opportunity to visit 35 countries and visit and collect all the suitable data from the archives and the museum, saying that it is modern people, servants of Christ, who created modern India, including giving the script, grammar book, dictionary, school, colleges. So, read our languages. I've written all the details here. I've tabulated which missionary came, where did he come, what language, where did he do that. It's all there. But it's not a compact story, because this is from a secular university. This Let There Be India, in Dr. the Bible of Nation Building, is a book I must read for MA and history, linguistics and PhD linguistics there. It's an authentic record. It proves that it is Bible people, Bible translators, who created modern India. Languages, literature, literacy, linguistics. Kindergarten was introduced by Pandita Ramabai in 1890. The first university was established in 1818 by William Carey, Joshua Marshman, William Ward, at the Salambur University, Salambur Missionaries. William Carey was in India for 42 years. He wrote 41 languages of India. He gave 23 progressive writers. He is known as the father of the modern, of the Renaissance of India. Is what we did? India was a dark nation, a culturally superstitious nation, dark nation, illiterate nation. So who gave the light? The gospel, Bible gave the light. So it became a modern nation. So all these areas, three universities of Bombay, Madras, and Calcutta in 1857 was established by missionaries. That's the truth. Then look at farming. All this, from tapioca to tomato, to cabbage, to carrot, to apple, pineapple, cashew nut, groundnut, soybean. Think of that. All of these things were given, was brought to India by Bible people missionaries. Coffee, tea, bread, flour, bread, potato. Look at that. Where India would have been without the Bible people? India became so prosperous today because of Bible people. This is my finding. So I produced a smaller version for that. This I gave to our former Prime Minister, Dr. Manmohan Singh, I had a long chat with him. He said, yes. And this is what Dr. Manmohan Singh told me. We are so thankful, Indians are so thankful for the contribution of Christian missionaries to the development of languages, literature, health, education, and all our socio-economic prosperity. Yes, people who have ideas, people who have learned ministers know this. But what's happening today? These truths are removed. You know, in India, we have a slogan, Satyameva Jayate. That means truth shall triumph, truth shall triumph. That's what we say. But what's happening today? I recently told a parliament member, you know that too, Satyameva Jayate. Not truth, but untruth. I go to the parliament and Supreme Court. I'm a journalist by profession, so it's written there. Satyameva Jayate, Asatyameva Jayate. Who wants to define India today? Fear of lying. Every day, everyone is under fear. Fascism, dictatorship. It's not democracy, it's democracy. What shall we do? So physical attack, intellectual attack, this is what we intellectually prove that we were not destroyers, I prove this. Now, based on this, almost 10 PhDs that are going on. So I'm requesting our people to produce books proving that what we did. I've written about 27 mission books. Yes, amazing stories going on. And then thirdly, financial attack. All the financial resources of Christians have been removed. Stop. 44,000 Christian institutions who had this special license to bring foreign currency has been removed. Hundreds of our orphanages are closed down. Our schools are looted. Bulldozed. Financial resources also are not, they don't permit us to receive any finance from anybody. So what shall we do? Brothers and sisters, what shall we do? How do we react to this? So for two reasons I came here. If possible, to impress upon the American government to intervene and tell India, being a democratic nation, a friend of the US, release all the Christians who are arrested. Number two, stop the stop inhuman, gross violation of human rights. That the authorities should abide by the constitution. Secondly, I've been just traveling around for a few weeks. That we would raise an army of intercessors for India. Fears is the answer. We can't do anything. Let me tell just one story. After visiting a few refugee camps in Manipur, we were coming out. I just heard a sound. And just I looked back, a little girl of 8 or 9 years speaks beautiful English because Christian missionaries taught her English. She said, "Angus, please do not leave me. Please do not forsake me." She said, "I have no father, no mother, no brother, no sister, no food, no shelter, no clothing, no school. What can we do?" Just cried. We just cried with that picture. In the evening, we found her from the courts. Her father and mother were burned alive by these radicals, along with the house. Somehow, somebody took her off and she escaped this. This is India today. What shall we do? You are in the comfort zone. That's what I wanted you to do. Write letters, emails to your congressmen and senators. That's the government. I met a lot of them personally. I was there for 10 days. Please do that, right? Tell you are the keepers of your brothers. You got the story of Esther Mordecai. If you don't speak now, God will bring salvation to the Indian believers from other sources. Will you pray? Will you cry? Instead of fighting with one another, I am telling all the churches, stop all kinds of rivalries, personal agendas. Start crying. Tears is the answer. Tears, we can try tears. Will you stand with me? Brothers and sisters, yet, amidst that, a few more minutes, the Lord is doing His work. Amidst persecution, amazing, amazing gospel penetration is going on. I was in Chhattisgarh 2 years ago, where Jim Matthew, Babu Thomas, they are all working there. There were around 20 assemblies in the Bastar district there. We went through the jungle. We could not go because of the police limitations. We went through the jungle and then we went there. Our believers, around 300 of them, and 5 years to 95 were there. They put up a pandal, a shamiana. There were 300 of them. We spent 2 hours with them, encouraging them, keeping them in the world. And we went, came out. All the 300 got up. They cried like this, hallelujah. They said, even if we die here, we will never leave Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. They cried. They said, if we don't meet you, we will meet you there. You have a confidence. Yes. I'm going to tell you, many of the prisons, our believers, they are sharing the gospel. The prisons of India, some are turning into worship places. Amen. I tell you, I make this declaration to you for prayer. The next greatest gospel revival is going to take place in the prisons of India. We can change people, we can fill people, but gospel cannot be changed. As Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Believers continue to pray. The Lord is doing His work. Some of these stories, I'll take 2-3 minutes more. I encountered the story of a parliament member who has burned the Bible but now become a Christian. Another thunder in the Himalayas, nephew and niece of Sadhu Sundar Singh burned the Bible. They were children of a king of Patputala, burned the Bible, became evangelists. Kashi calling Abraham and his wife, working for 60 years in Varanasi, UP, around 9,000 house churches are there. There are 6 schools recently. 3 schools were burned down. Paul of Poya, story of a Bible translated in Andhra Pradesh. He was on a wheelchair for 20 years. He reduced their language into writing. They gave them dictionary, grammar books, schools were started, and hundreds of assemblies were established. Other man, story, fire on the footpath, story of one Joseph, who was given a John's Gospel while he was passing through our fourth assembly in Bombay. They brought him in and gave him a John's Gospel as he was speeding under the street light as an orphan. Jesus spoke to him and said, I am Jesus, son, come. He continued in our assembly, and thousands of assemblies were established by him. There are stories like that. I'm stopping here. So this, we are under attack. We are under terrible attack. What shall we do? What shall we do? So what we do is, yes, because the Lord is coming. I was a journalist in the Middle East. I wrote this book, Tomorrow, the Future of the World, released by the Council General of Israel. And the best subject to share the gospel is the upcoming of Christ. So I produced this, a global leader coming soon, released by the governor, BJP man, governor of Goa. A global leader, I'm producing it in 16 languages, 100,000 copies in my time. Keep on giving literature now, brothers and sisters. This is the last book I want to share with you. He's burned alive, you all know. Australian missionary, Graham Staines and his 2 sons were burned alive. That fellow, it was in a team that did it. That man who was part and parcel of the fellow who killed him, killed these dear ones, now he has become the chief minister of Orissa. Look at what is happening. Do you expect any justice? That is strange. When I was interviewing her, she came to my house. She told her a story. Just on me, she said, when my son, Timothy, just Philip, 9 years old, when he came to the house just a week ago, every 1 hour he was praying. He was singing. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You understand, Swami Babu? I didn't know that. Why? My son was singing this. The Lord has been strengthening, later I knew, within 7 days. His roll was called up yonder, his two sons, his mother's roll and his father's roll was called up yonder. And they, after 3 days, three bodies were there. Three bodies were there. Then this is what, just let me finish with this. This is what she said. My husband and our children have sacrificed their lives for this nation. It is my home. I hope to be here and continue to serve the needy. She told me the other day, India government refused to give her a visa to visit. They said, you are a security risk. Daughter Esther said, I praise God that we found my father working to die for Christ. Yes, persecution will come. Persecution is part of our call, brothers and sisters. How will you react? I close here with my slogan. Are you ready? Persecution gives us opportunity to participate in the suffering of the Lord. Persecution gives you an opportunity to purify ourselves. Persecution is the opportunity to propagate the gospel of Jesus. Yes, in this persecution, India will continue to have. We are praying God. Just like the way Jesus, you came down into the fiery furnace of Kshatrika and Vidishnama, and Abednego, please come. Brothers and sisters, there is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. There is no winning without warfare. This is a battle. This is a battle. Will you join in this battle? With prayers. Will you cry? And God will have mercy. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Time is short. Hell is hot. Satan is swift. Ready or not, Christ is coming. Till he comes, let's worship him. Let's walk with him. Let us witness him. Let us witness him through our life. Let us witness him through our lips. Let's witness him through literature. The Lord is coming. We do not time. The Lord is coming. Pray for India. Pray for India. Amen. Lord, come. We are praying that God would come. Jesus would give us one more opportunity. That's my Lord, we have prayed for 2,000 years. Please give us just one more opportunity that India will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Christ as what they discover the sea. That every Indian, every knee shall bow down, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you.